This is Doug Miller. The feast is called Purim. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged and pleased and delighted, I might add, to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Bible in hand. And we are, of course, confident that God will bless and honor his word. He always does. He has said that he would, and his word is true and faithful, and you can count on it. So, bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up. We are in the 9th chapter of Esther, and I think you will find this a very great blessing to just look into the word of God with us. And see as God preserves and protects his earthly people. God is faithful, and you can count on him to do it. So, once again, bring your Bibles, open up Esther 9, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization. The sole purpose of which is to get this word out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And as you've often heard me say, if you listen to Dialogue, we absolutely must have the assistance, the prayer, support of the people of God. Please pray for Dialogue. Please tell others about us. And please let us hear from you. Always a delight to get letters from our listeners, to know that you're out there, to know where you are, where you're listening from, and to answer any questions you might have, to be able to provide you with any assistance that we might. And as I've always said, because it is absolutely the truth, these broadcasts come to you. And any help that we can give you will come to you absolutely, no strings attached, free of charge, and I mean no strings attached. We do not come out and harass you and beg for money. We just don't do that on Dialogue. If we run out of money down here, we'll quit broadcasting. We'll take that as a sign that God doesn't want us to do this any longer, and that's possible. That's perfectly possible. He has his own schedule and his own ways, and the joy of being a worker for the Lord in this kind of ministry is I don't have to worry about it. It's not up to me to lose sleep at night over these sorts of things. So there you are. That's the way we do it, and we will go off the air before we start begging people for money. God knows what we're doing, and he is more than able to provide for us as long as we are operating within his will. Now, we've been many years on this radio doing this broadcast, and we have never lacked for God's supply and support in all of that time. So, there you are. Okay. Esther, well, let me... I said we'd love to hear from you. I guess we better give you our mailing address, hadn't we? It's Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast, so keep your writing materials handy. If you wish to email us, it is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That is Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page. You can pull that down and look at it. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay, dialogueministries.org. If you put .com in, you'll get something else. And finally, if you wish to call and talk to me, I'll be glad to return your call, but you will get a recording. We, as I've said before, don't have a secretary paid to sit there and answer the phone. We don't have the money for that. All of our money goes back into the broadcast. So, but you can call. Our telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. You will get a message, and I will, I promise you, get back to you. All right. Last week when we were in time, we saw the decree go out to execute judgment on those who had attempted to destroy the Jews. We are now going to see the actual carrying out of that order. Once again, you can count on this. When God says he's going to do something, friends, he's going to do it. And it will happen. And it will happen in his good time and in his way, and it will be carried out to the letter. The word of God is always something you can count on. And therefore, take a look at the people in the Middle East brought back from every nation on the earth. They are back in the Middle East right now. They are the nation of Israel. They have been there since 1948, after an absence of, well, over almost 1900 years, from 70 AD to 1948, they are there in spite of the fact that they had opposition from the very beginning, and powerful opposition, and yet they are there. They had to fight a bloody war, surrounded by their neighbors who hated them. The Arabs in that area hated them and tried to put a stop to them. They couldn't do it. They haven't been able to do it yet, and they are not going to do it, friends. They are fighting a losing fight. And right now, many of our politicians in this country are doing all that they can to try to bring peace to that area. There will be no peace in that area unless and until Israel is triumphant and has the land that God promised to them. There's not going to be a two-Palestinian settlement or a two-country settlement. The politicians of this world, I don't care what they wish to do, are not going to divide that land and give part to the Palestinians and part to the Israelis. It's not going to happen. That land belongs to Israel. And surely and certainly that will come to pass. It will come to pass after a great deal of suffering and bloodshed. But it will come to pass. And you can count on it. Now let's pick this up. And here we are way back in about 500 B.C., way back. And even back then, we see the enemies of the Lord's people, the Jews, trying to kill them. It doesn't work. In the 12th month, we read Esther 9:1. That is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. And all the rulers of the provinces, and the lieutenants, and the deputies, and officers of the king helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Now, I want to just point out something here. You will notice that these the repeated name and term, the Jews. Now, it was during really the time of Jeremiah, but particularly after the deportation to Babylon, that these individuals began more and more to be known as Jews. It comes from the term Judah, from the name Judah, and from the tribe of Judah, and that's where they take their names from. And Judah comes to the fore here as the ones who are prominent and the center of the thing. Now, Judah, as all of you know who know the Bible, was only one of the 12 tribes, and 10 of the tribes had been carried away into captivity by the Assyrians about 200 years earlier. And what we have now, these that are called Jews, and they are still called Jews to this day, are of the tribe of Judah, and some of the tribe of Benjamin, and some of the Levites. And, of course, the day is coming when all of Israel, including the 10 tribes that we know as the 10 lost tribes, some people call them that, although they're not lost at all. God knows where they are. He will bring them back, and all 12 of the tribes will again be reunited, and will live in and possess all of the land which God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's been a rough ride, though, in the intervening years, hasn't it? The Jews, because of their disobedience, because of their rebelliousness, because of their hardness of heart, because of their ongoing idolatry, are in the position that they are in that we read about here in Esther. And incidentally, for these very reasons, are in the position that they are in much of the world today. God told them, he warned them solemnly and sternly, that he would scatter them throughout the world if they did not do what he told them. But he also told them with unconditional promises that he would protect and keep them in the countries to which they would be driven and ultimately would bring them back. And that is exactly, I am persuaded, what we see happening right now. Now, a part of God's protecting hand over the Jews and over Israel, we see it right here in Esther 9. We have seen it throughout the book of Esther. It is not that the enemy doesn't want to destroy them. It is that the enemy does not have the power to destroy them as long as God's hand is on them. And God's hand is on them and will stay on them until he has done what he said he was going to do. Verse 5 of chapter 9, thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And we're going to read how many were destroyed in Shushan here. And you will notice that it's a limited thing. There were many people that weren't destroyed. God knows who his enemies are, and God knows what to do with them. Let's go on here. In Shushan the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And Parshandatha and Dalphon, and Aspatha, and Paratha, and Adaliah, and Aridatha, and Parmashta, and Arisai, and Aridai, and Vajezatha, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hamadatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil they laid not their hand. I hope that all of you out there were sufficiently impressed by my ability to read and pronounce all those names. Kind of strange names. And, of course, for those of you who say, if you wish to say, well, you got a couple of the names wrong, Miller. Okay, don't bother me with that. I got them close enough. But look at this. There were slain people. Look at verse 11. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king. And yet they laid not their hands on the spoil, we read. These individuals were much kinder to their enemies than their enemies were going to be to them, because their enemies didn't intend to leave a Jew standing. And yet, the judgment that fell, it was a limited judgment. The taking of spoil, it didn't happen. They come to the king in verse 12. The king said unto Esther, the queen, rather. He says, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace and the 10 sons of Haman. And what have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. Or what is thy request further? And it shall be done. Well, let's see what Esther has to say here. Once again, this woman has incredible power and influence over the king. And Esther said, the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it so to be done. And the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. Now, once again, as I said last time, here it is again. And you can rest on this. The sins of the fathers are indeed visited upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And if you don't believe it, just look out there and see what happens. And, of course, Esther is very much an instrument of the wrath of God in this business. There is such a thing as God's wrath. And there is such a thing as God's judgment, and there is such a thing as punishment. And let me just say something about this right now, because there are those out there, there's false teaching out there that says there is no such thing as hell. Well, if there is no such thing as hell, friend, someone has to explain to me why it is contained in this book over and over again. Someone will have to explain to me, if there is no such thing as hell, why Jesus taught about it and talked about it. You may have heard me say this on here before, but look, a man went to Billy Graham one time and said, do you believe that hell is a place where fire burns eternally and people are plunged into the hell of fire? What do you think hell is? And Billy Graham said, I don't know exactly what hell is, but I can tell you this. Whatever it is, Jesus warned men not to go there. Did you get that? That's worth saying, and it's worth repeating. Jesus warned men not to go to hell. He said it was a place of outer darkness where men will weep and gnash their teeth. Then he said, it is where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Paul talked about hell as a place of everlasting destruction from the glory of God and his presence, a place where you will be shut out. If you are in your sin now and are lost, you need to understand something. God has made every provision for you to be saved. He sent his son to die for you. And if you are in rejection of the gift and mercy and grace of God, do not imagine that you ultimately will escape. There is a day of vengeance coming, and God knows how to preserve the righteous and bring them home, and he knows how to reserve the rebellious and those who will not have any of his mercy, to reserve them to the day of judgment and everlasting punishment. And anyone out there, and there are many of them out there, who wish to teach that there is no such thing as hell, that this is just a primitive belief about vengeance and God, who is a loving God, would not do this. Well, let me tell you something. You won't hear that kind of thing from this guy talking to you. There is a day of vengeance, and there is a day of judgment. And for those of you who don't like God, you're going to get your wish if you go on in that stroke. You'll get away from God, and you will find that that was what the last thing that you wanted. That is not what you want, friend. And believe me, the day of judgment is coming. And God, who is a loving, merciful, and gracious God, is also a God of vengeance and a God of justice. Let's read on here. The Jews that were gathered in verse 15 of chapter 9 in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month Adar and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000. But they laid not their hands on the prey. On the 13th day of the month Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, rested they and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Let's read on. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting and a good day and of sending portions one to another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun and as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them and had cast Pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device should be devised, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name Pur. And there you have the reason for the name and the source of the feast, which is a Jewish feast. It goes back to this very incident and to the deliverance of the Jews from their enemies. God will continue to deliver his people. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.